Hi, we're Chris and Jackie.
Welcome to the Gates of Love interview series, a collection of interviews with couples we aspire to learn from.
We look at the differences and similarities behind conscious relationships and what makes them work.
Hey guys, in this episode, we interview Peter and Rachel. They are Chris's brother and sister-in-law. They've been together for 11 years now, so it was really cool to sit down with them and chat and see how they navigate their relationship. And their two little cutie babies, Luke and Sophia, join us occasionally as well. Enjoy this episode.
The eyeball.
What, buddy?
Okay. Oh, it's too small.
YouTube changed, so it's going to be like that.
You can't make it full screen?
You can, but then he hits a button and it goes up.
Well, we can start about how you guys met.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Oh, let me finish chewing my carrot.
Hi, welcome to your home. I don't know what to do.
Well, it's fine. I'm just going to answer questions. Don't worry, the first time I did a podcast, I was sweating.
I'm already sweating.
Yeah. Well, I was like all hot and sweating. I was like...
We don't have to listen to it back.
We could just not record it and just talk.
Okay, well, unplug
it. Okay. It's not recording. It's off.
Okay. What do we do? How do we start?
So, how'd you guys meet? Tell us the story.
It's worse than a bar.
Country Thunder. 4 days of country concerts and drinking. No. I mean, that's exactly what it was. But really, my girlfriends that I went to U of A with are all from Flagstaff. So, we did go to Country Thunder, but... He was one of the flag boys, and apparently, I think like 6 years later, we found out it was a setup, but it wasn't to introduce me to Pete. It was to go to introduce him to one of his other friends, and they were telling the story, and I was like, what? But I met Pete first, and they were like, we're so glad you met Pete first. The other guy's a good guy, but Pete's better. So I say two of my favorite boys stumbled out of that tent that day, Peter and Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I saw Laura, who Rachel's still friends with, and they were walking down like the aisle at Country Thunder, like all the rows are out there, and I saw Laura, and I hadn't seen her since like middle school, because we went to the same middle school but different high schools, and I saw Laura, said hi to Laura, and there was a cute blonde girl with her, and that's when we started like talking then and there. My friends had already left the campsite, so Laura invited me back with them to go hang out and go say hi to everybody, because I hadn't seen everybody, like her group of friends in a long time. And on our way over there, it might have been you who asked me.
Did you play guitar?
They're like, were you the one walking around with your guitar? Because I always did at Country Thunder. And it's like, yeah.
I'll walk back and get it with you.
Yeah, and then we went back and got my guitar and brought it back to the campsite, and I thought it was going to be like me and Laura and Rachel and maybe a couple more people, and they had an RV, and it was packed with a bunch of girls,
ten
so it was like me, my guitar, and 10 girls in an RV, and so I played for a while, actually.
What was it, Traveling Soldier? You have one song that he picks out of Country Thunder that he knows really well.
Yeah, I don't remember what I played, but I played a bunch of songs out.
No, if you're reading this, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had it when I got back, because I was working at the time. So when I got back on a sticky note, I just wrote, if you're reading this, and it's been on my computer for 8 years or something, until we started working from home. It just says, like, if you're reading this, I'm a little sticky.
Oh, my gosh.
Fun.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, and then we hung out all Country Thunder, and Country Thunder is one of those things that it's like, what happens to Country Thunder stays at Country Thunder, and I think I made it all of like 30 minutes on my drive home before I text her.
Yeah.
So
you didn't wait the 3 days?
No.
Not
customary.
No. Nope, not at all. And yeah, we were long distance for the first...
When we met
in 2010. Was it a year and a half before we moved?
So you guys have been together for over 10 years now?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow.
11 years.
On April 15th.
Wow.
Yep.
What was it like initially meeting each other? Did you know there was a special connection? Was it like once he started playing his guitar that you knew? Or yeah, I don't know. Like, what were your perspectives, if you can remember?
I mean, I don't know that you're like looking for someone like that at Country Thunder, but I definitely, like, I remember pretty quickly. I was like, this girl's really cool. Because I kept going back over there. And I think even at one point her friends were trying to keep me away.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, that's, like, not what Country Thunder is supposed to be. You're supposed to be there with, like, your friends having fun, like, and, yeah, I mean, I knew that I wanted to hang out with her more. And, like, it's also a weird place to, like, kind of think you know someone, because it's like just a party the entire time. Mm-hmm. So I mean, once we started to really talk and like do a bunch, like we, like in normal life, I guess,
mm-hmm.
it was pretty quick that I knew like this was going to be special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the same for me. I mean, like, I never dated anybody. I think I dated one guy for like 3 months, maybe max, and I always told him, like, don't call me your girlfriend, like, not in like a stuck up way, but like, we're not there, like, we're just dating, casually dating. And but I never had a boyfriend before Pete, because I just, like, it always happened super quick for me. It was like a couple weeks and I'm like, this isn't it, like, let me move on. So the day before Country Thunder, I had told my girlfriends, I was like, I'm so done with guys. Like, I just want to go to Country Thunder. I can't wait to just go and have so much fun with my girlfriends. So that's probably why they were like, half of them that didn't know Pete, the other half, obviously, they, of course, planned it, which I didn't know. But they were like, they kind of knew the place that I was when I was like going to Country Thunder. Like, I just wanted to have fun. And I think the fact that, like, I trusted Pete because, like, my girlfriends knew him, so that was what was different for me. And, yeah, it just, I never had any doubts. Like, I was like, yeah, like, that day, like, our anniversary before we got married was the day we met. Like, it was just, there was no question for me. There was never any red flags. Like, he was always such a nice guy, and all of his friends, like, he'd had since high school, and all my friends, like, most of them I had since high school. So it was just, like, I don't know. He was just seemed really awesome. And the fact that, like, he didn't play the games. Like you said, like, he got in the car and 30 minutes on the road, he's, like, already texting me. So it wasn't, like, I don't do the mental thing. I'm like, I don't have time. I mean, we were only 21, but, like, I don't know. I think that was, I was just, like, I was able to be vulnerable. I never was, like, intimate with anybody, like, and so I just trusted him for whatever reason. Like, he was very easy to trust. And I think being long distance, like, you learn a lot about people. Like, we would spend so many hours on the phone. Like, you just learn so much, like, stripped down. Now, and also, you really have to trust somebody. Like, it's like a mind game when you are long distance. Because you're like, what are they doing? Who are they hanging out with? I saw this picture. I don't know that girl. Like, you know, so, like, you really have to trust. So I think that helped, too. I mean, the 2 years that we were.
Yeah.
But initially, I would say, yeah, there was just no red flags. And the fact that my girlfriends knew him outside of college, it wasn't like frat guys. It wasn't like somebody that I met that I didn't know where they came from or who they were. Like, it was, that made it more comfortable for me.
So the long distance, was it from Plague to here? Or where? What was the long distance from?
Tucson first.
Oh, okay.
While Rachel was finishing at U of A.
Yeah. Hello, Daddy. It wasn't very long. What happened? Your YouTube?
Yeah, but Dad's fixing it.
Yeah, so you guys started out long distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, I mean, we met in April. Oh, yeah, April, duh. And then I moved back to Phoenix in, like, end of May, June. But he was still in Flagstaff. But it was enough time. Didn't you come visit me once in Tucson? Did you ever come down to Tucson to that apartment?
Yeah, I drove.
Oh, yeah.
I drove a couple times.
Okay. So it was, like, enough that he came and visited. Mm-hmm. But the first time we met up was in Tempe after Country Thunder. We all went out on Mill.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Guys, yeah. Start off yeah. in the party scene.
Yeah, party scene, yeah. Like I said, like I was not looking for anything, and yeah, I was.
I mean, that's what called like that's what.
Yeah, it's the time of your life.
Yeah, yeah. It was
early 20s.
Like we would do Country Thunder every year. That's just where we happened to meet, and then I was in Phoenix because I'd always visit Jordan and Barkeen,
mm-hmm.
and we were going out. Rachel was in town. I was still texting her, and I was like, "Let's go meet up." Like. And it's easier to do that than, like, a one-on-one date.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, my buddies are going out. Are you guys going out? Yeah, let's meet up. And, like, so we did that.
Yeah.
How do you feel that, or how do you feel with the long distance, how it kind of shaped your relationship, starting off with, like, you were talking about that trust and... not knowing exactly what was going on, but having to trust the other person in that way when you couldn't be there
yeah.
all the time.
I think, I mean, one of the reasons that I knew Rachel was different and, like, that I think that I knew it was going to work was that, like, I've never been that person who, and I never understood why people were, like, super controlling of other people. Because, like, if you need to control someone so that they don't do something wrong, like, you probably shouldn't be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel was very, like, I could be completely open, like, hey, me and my buddies are going out. Or, like, I remember the time that, like, this, when my friends all were like, you need to marry her, was when we went to Vegas. It was our buddy Chad's, like, going away. So one of our friends, Ricky, got all, we got this huge, like, crazy room in Vegas to send him off because he was going to Hollywood to be an actor. And we spent the whole weekend there, and I had, like, no money at the time. But I got enough money to go, and I was there. I spent, like, everything I had to pay for, like, a little bit for the room, our first night out, and, like, the next morning I had, like, nothing left, and I was talking to Rachel, and she's like, ask me how it was, like, what's going on, not, like, what are you doing? What's going on? Like, just asking if I'm having a good time. Like, yeah, it's been awesome. Like, the guys are going to go out tonight. I think I'm just going to stay back. Like, I don't have any money left. Like, I just had enough to come, and I wanted to be here to say bye to Chad and all of that. And she was like, well, I want you to have fun with your buddies. So she literally wired me money so that I could go hang out with my friends in Vegas. And when I walked back into our room and told my friends, like, what had just happened, like, I was like, what? And they were like, are you going to go buy a ring right now? Or,
like, she didn't wire me enough.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't send me enough for a ring.
Yeah. And, like, all my friends were like, holy cow, like, you're in Vegas with your boys. You guys are long distance, and she's sending you money so you can go have fun. Like, and it just showed me, like, she trusted me, like... And I, like, I mean, I've always, I, yeah, I never, from the time we met, had any reason to not trust her. So it was never, like, I wasn't really ever worried about that. I know when I was in Flagstaff, I was a very social person, and I knew a lot of people. So, like, that probably for Rachel was, like, just, she would probably see things, like, pictures of me with, like, girls, because I, like, knew the whole soccer team, and we hung out with a bunch of different people. Like, I remember later on in our relationship when I started bringing Rachel up to Flagstaff, and we'd go out, like, every single restaurant or bar we went into, I knew...
It's like a small town celeb.
Yeah.
Like, I knew people everywhere, and girls would be coming up, like, hey, Peter, hey, oh, is this... And I'm like, this is Rachel, and she's like, what is going on? Because, like, yeah. That doesn't happen in, like, a bigger city.
Yeah.
Like, but it's Flagstaff, and I grew up there, so, like, I knew a lot of people.
Yeah, like, I think, for me, it was, so the thing with long distance is, like, you have to talk. So, like, a lot of relationships, like, communication is not a thing, and now we struggle with it a little bit more than we did back then, but, like, you have to talk through everything. Like, you can't just be silent on the other end of the line and, like, silent treatment. Like, it doesn't work. So we would talk through a lot of things, and he would explain. And then when I started going up there myself, like, the biggest thing, obviously, like, other girls, or, like, you see a picture, like, out, and you're, you know, he's with other girls. But then when I went up there, it would be more like Peter and like friends. And so I was like, oh, you're total friend zone. Oh, yeah. These are all friend zone girls.
That was ultimate friend zone. Like my whole life, I was
like, because he was like such a nice guy, so it totally made sense. And then I got to realize, like, you know,
Sophia.
So that was for me. Like, it was the communication is what I still like rely on. And when you're long distance like that, you have to communicate and talk through your feelings or talk through why you're pissed or why you're, you know.
But you also don't have all like the little like nagging things that like usually cause arguments because you're not around each other. Mm-hmm. So like you talk about the things you want to talk about. Whereas like, and that's something you have to learn, like when you are like living in the same place, like how to actually live with each other, which all we did was get to talk about what we wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, oh, why do you do this? Or why do you do this? It's just like all the good stuff. And we got to really learn about each other.
We got to create like a good foundation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then moving in together, how did you start to work on talking and your communication around those other smaller things like dishes and chores and a balance of those components?
Well, I knew like at that point, like I knew I wanted to marry her, but I wanted to see what that was like, because like as perfect as it was long distance, like that could be a big game changer. Like we've never lived even in the same city. Like that's completely different.
Well, and that's what we made it a point when you moved to Phoenix. You got your own apartment. You didn't move in with me, even though I lived by myself, because we still wanted to like, okay, like we knew that we had a really good thing, but like we kind of wanted to protect it. But then he never stayed at his
apartment. Yeah, it was a giant, giant waste of money.
It was a huge waste
of money.
I think
for my whole year of rent I paid, I stayed in that room once or twice.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, the thought was there. We tried to, I don't know, we wanted to protect our relationship, but obviously once you're in the same city and you've been dating for 2 years, like, he was over all the time. And it was safe. Like, I was living by myself. We had puppies together. So, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, just learning how to live together was, like, I think it was a lot of growth on my part. Like, I needed to learn how to be and I'm still learning. Like,
you're still learning.
Yeah, I was very much a dude. Like, I wasn't the tidiest. I, like, didn't plan everything. Like, so me going into it, I think it worked because I had an open mind to not necessarily being taught, but, like, learning how to coexist and be better.
Yeah, I think, like, when I would go visit, like, he would work until, so he would get off work at, like, 6 or something. And I would go up to Flagstaff at 8 o'clock in the morning to clean the whole house before I stayed there. Like, the 4 dudes or whatever,
yeah,
one of them lived under. Oh, yeah, you lived there?
Yeah.
At that time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Tom lived under the stairs.
Yeah.
Yes. So I would clean your guys' apartment before I would, like, get there, right? In the morning,
to our credit, that place was a disaster when we moved in.
Sure.
It was cleaner when we were living there than when we, like, literally when we walked in, we couldn't see the carpet. It was so gross.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah.
But anyway, so going from living with a bunch of dudes to...
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, the tidiest person either. Like, I don't, yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's more just, like, the respecting that you live with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And... it changes. Like, when you're by yourself, doesn't matter if you put the dishes away. Mm-hmm. Like, that's on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But having someone else there, like, you gotta think about it a little different. So, it took me a while to learn. But still learning.
But as far as, like, we sat down and we decided, like, okay, like, what chores do you want? Like, we can't share. Like, everything. You can't just be like, okay, pick up after yourself and, like, do your dishes and do your laundry, like, because then nothing would get done. So Pete's job is always laundry. Like, that's what he chose. That's what he wanted. We tried to swap, and mine is dishes. And that's how it has been for, like, 5-6 years, maybe.
Yeah, we still help.
And we tried to, we'll help out with both, but like we tried to swap and it was like, I hate this. I hate this. He hates dishes. I hate laundry. So, we kind of like, for those are the two major things that we stick to, and then everything else just kind of works, but.
So you guys like sat down and had to kind of like work. Was there anything else that needed like more added communication when you guys moved in together? Like
other than... So the biggest thing would be like getting married. Like, because when we moved in together, because we were staying in an apartment I was renting from my grandma, and then I bought a house, and I was like, if we're not married, like, I'm not putting your name on the deed. It's my house. Like, I'm buying the house. So I bought the house, and then he moved in. And if I look back on it and think back on it, I feel like I was miserable for like 6 months. But because I wanted him to propose, and I knew that he wanted to, but he struggles with procrastination. And so that's what made me most mad, was I was like, I know you want to, just like do it. And I would like literally have days where I would be so miserable. And then I look back on it now, I bought the house July 9th and he proposed like August 28th. So it was like literally 6 weeks or something of like, at least like, it wasn't an ultimatum, but it was like, if we're not married by the time I buy the, or if we're not engaged, you know.
Well, I had this like, this now looking back at it, wrong mindset that I needed to be in a much different place before I committed to marriage.
Like financially independent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wanted like, and I think it came from like how we were raised, that I shouldn't marry someone until I'm able to take care of them and the family that I want to have. And I wasn't there yet. And I kept in my head thinking like, well, like, cause at that point, like I was just finishing up school and like, I didn't have any career. Like, I'm like, I don't want to get married and not be able to support a family. And Rachel talked me through, like, it's not just on me, like, that this could be something that we figure out together. Like, we don't have to both be at this place where we're super successful. Like, let's get successful together and learn from that. And, like, flipping that mindset made it okay for me. But, like, it was... Yeah, I've always been a procrastinator, but it wasn't like, I was always comfortable. Like, I'm one of those people, like, if I'm comfortable, like, change is a little bit hard, or, like, I just don't push myself for it. And that was, like, one of the big things, like, not necessarily that we fought over originally, but, like, it was something that Rachel would always push me towards. Like, well, what are your goals? What are your ambitions? What are you going to do career-wise? And, like, I don't know, I have a job. I'm okay. Like, I'm finishing school. I don't know. Like, and Rachel was already, like, in her career and, like, on the path to doing really well. And I was more just kind of coasting. And Rachel helped me figure out, like, that I need more drive, at least in my, like, work part of life. Mm-hmm. And so I started to figure out that.
Well, and, like, once we were engaged or even married, like, my job was super steady and solid. So I'm like, go figure out what it is you want to do. Like, you have the flexibility, like, all of our benefits and everything at that point being married. Like, I'm thankful that my job was secure. Like, he could take that time to figure out. And we had, like, a very humble mortgage. Like, it wasn't like we had all these, we lived outside our means. Like, we had the flexibility to... where he could figure stuff out. And we had great family support. So it wasn't like, you know, we weren't going to... Nobody was going to let us fail. So that's kind of how we evolved. How our relationship kind of evolved, I guess. It's just, I don't know, constantly... Well, I think I just always relate it back to communication. Just like, let's sit down and talk. Like, I'm a planner by nature and by my job. Like, I want to plan things out. I want to know what I'm doing, know where I'm going, have a plan. It doesn't mean, like, that's the way that it's going to be, or, like, how you plan it is how it's always going to work out, because nothing in our life has ever gone the way we've exactly planned it. But for the most part, it has. I mean, I always said, I was like, I want to be married by 25, have two kids by the time I'm 30, and I always said I want to have kids when I'm 30 and I want to be done having kids when I'm 30. People are like, well, that's going to be pretty darn tough. And I was like, but I did. I had, I think, Luke at what, 29 and Sophia at 31 and we were married at 25. Like, it's just weird how some of the things worked out in life. And then, like, Pete has a job that he loves and is super passionate about. So,
yeah.
Doing good. It's
worked out pretty darn good. And we got two beautiful babies.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Huh,
Luke? Wish. Not while I'm watching puppy.
With the communication piece, when you're noticing that something's not settling right and you want to bring up something, or you're noticing that they might be off, so to speak, how does that look? Is it like usually you're feeling something, then you bring it to the table, or is it you notice and then you kind of bring it up to them? Like, what's your style of like bringing things out into the open and having those communication?
Yeah, I feel like now, so like in the early part of our relationship, communication was huge and we were really great at it. And now it's probably like one of the biggest things that we struggle with. And I think it's just because we're so comfortable and we're living around each other. Like, I know what he does every day and he knows what I do every day. Like, we just don't make time to like sit and talk. So now, like, if something bothers me, like, I don't know, what do? I just like stomp around and make a lot of noise until you ask me what's wrong.
Quarantine has been weird.
Well, not even just even before quarantine, or like, it's almost like I have to recognize it in myself. Like, I have to communicate with myself, like check in with myself, like, what am I feeling? Because one of our biggest things, I don't know, like the biggest struggle that we overcame in the last, I don't know, 2 years was like, I had to recognize, like, I wasn't feeling, not that I wasn't feeling loved because I know he loves me, but like, I wasn't feel like he was showing me love the way that I want to receive it. Mm-hmm. So, but I had to like acknowledge that in myself first. And so then I would communicate to him, like, this is how I feel loved. Like, do that. Like, I need to tell you. If I don't tell you, you're not going to know. So like, do this. And for me, it's like, dumb, but like foot massages, like if you give me a foot massage, like that's something that you're like actively doing, that like that's how I feel loved, like physically. Yeah. and you know, obviously sex is great for men, but like and women, but I mean, for me too, like that's just like a natural thing. But for me, like, to show me that you love me, like give me a foot massage, or like tell me, do things, don't,
and like his, acts of service.
Yeah.
We just got stuck, like, with the kids, with jobs, with trying to do everything with the house, it's very easy to, like, put, like, your relationship kind of on the back burner. And not, like, mm-hmm. not doing anything, like, against your relationship, but not doing, like, the little things that help keep, like, the fire going, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, wake up, get the kids breakfast, like, get to work, go to, get back from work, get them in the bath, like, mm-hmm. now you're tired, go to bed. Like, you have a billion things going on.
Daddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. Can you please take a bite? How about 5 more bites?
But
look, Sophia's gonna beat you. She's gonna beat you. You're cold. Do you want a blankie? Okay.
Oh, he looks
Daddy,
sleepy.
Daddy, you a blankie?
He looks sleepy.
No, Pete. Luke. Yeah. Pete. I keep calling him Pete.
He looks sleepy.
He looks sleepy.
Very sleepy. No.
Okay. Cool. Alright. I've got what Peter was talking about.
Oh, he was talking about how... and that's interesting, too, because you guys...
Life. Yeah, life gets in the way.
And because you're going on, like, 10 years now, so it's like, you know, keeping the fire alive for 5 years, like, that's hard and impressive, but then it's like 10, and I don't know, it seems like you have to be more mindful of that.
Yeah.
Like, as you evolve as a couple.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's recognizing, like, he's not gonna know unless I tell him. Like, everybody, even, like, in career, like, people were like, oh, it's one of the first places I learned this was in my career, and my mentors were like, men, besides the whole glass ceiling in women or whatever, but, like, one of the number one reasons why men get promoted over women is because they ask for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's probably, that's it. Like, so the next time I went into my one-on-one with my manager, like our mid-year performance review, I was like, I want a promotion. What can I do to get my next level? And I want a raise. And that year I got a huge raise. And it was like, I was like, oh my heck, I just freaking asked for it and it happened, you know? But it's the same thing. Your manager, they're a people person. Like, they don't know what you're doing every single day to, like, get your job done and satisfy your customers. And it's the same in a relationship. Like, you don't know what I want and what I need unless I tell you. Like, they always say, like, they're not mind readers. I'm not a mind reader. So tell me and then I can work on it. Don't just, like, get mad and expect me to know what you need. Like, tell me what you need and then I can work on it.
Yeah.
So. I mean, as you get older, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I remember before we had kids, I thought our days were busy. Like, going to work and going to the gym and doing all of that. Like, how do we have time for anything? And then try adding on two kids to that and then taking care of them and doing, making lunches, going to school. Like, and they're at home right now, like, with everything going on. So we're nonstop with them. And, like, it's, you literally, like, your day is so full of everything. It's very easy to forget about your actual relationship because it's just, like, every second there's something going on. Like, you don't sit down. Like, and then with two more kids, like, the dishes pile up, the laundry piles up. Like, everything that you were doing before just got multiplied by two.
Yeah.
And it's, like, so you have to work even harder on this stuff. And we're learning. I mean, they're still new. We're still new to this. They're new.
But luckily, the one thing we have never disagreed on is the kids and, like, how to raise them or how, you know, even, like, every situation. Like, you know, if Luke gets super emotional about something, like, we both have the same response of, like, we want to take care of his, you know, what his behavior and explain to him, like, why he's feeling so sad or emotional. And, like, some of that has come from you guys, like, you know, being so, we were talking earlier today about just, like, being in tune with, or, like, trying to understand, like, why you do the things you do or, like, challenge yourself. Like, I try to think of, as a child, like, don't just be like, stop crying. Like, try to explain to the kid, like, why they are feeling, it's okay that you're feeling that way. Like, that was never, we didn't grow up like that. So I feel like we have this, like, we get to recognize it as adults of, like, and how to, like, fix our mindset versus, like, building a mindset. So it's kind of cool. And we both agree on, like, we've never disagreed on how to raise them. So that's come easy where, luckily, I mean, where I know a lot of people will butt heads on raising their kids. We just haven't had that. So it's more been, and the guilt of, like, you know, when we were going to work and then picking up, you get, like, 3 hours with your kids before they go to bed. And it's just, like, you feel so guilty to take away from them and spend time on yourself. But I think I learned that from my parents. Like, they got divorced, like many parents do, as soon as your kids leave the house. And it's like, well, duh, you don't know each other anymore. So I always said, like, I want my husband to come first and then my kids. Because if you don't have that, like, you know.
Yeah. So how are ways that you, like little ways that you do that? Are there, like, little examples?
We're working on it.
But that's the intention and the mindset.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The marriage and the husband and then the kids.
Yeah, And it doesn't have anything to do with love. But it's like, you know, one of the best sayings that it's like when you're on an airplane, if it's going down, like they say, put the oxygen on yourself first and then your kid. Like, so we're like our lifeline. So it's like we need to like pump life into our relationship in order to like be together forever, you know. Like, we don't, neither one of us ever want to,
because you're still parents once they leave the house too, you know.
Yeah that's true.
Like, they still need you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah, I like that. And I like what you said about the like, you have to tell the other person because they don't know. Because I think especially after, like, the longer that you've been together, sometimes they're like, well, we've been together for 8 years. You should know what I'm thinking. Like, you should know what I want. But, like, we're different individuals and you're constantly changing. So your needs might change. Like, maybe, like, down the line, you, like, it's not foot massages anymore. Yeah. It's, like, hand massages.
And
he has to, like, no.
Gifts. I need a diamond.
Yeah, I need a diamond every week.
Yeah.
Well, and
show me you love me.
Yeah,
with
show me with sparkles.
There's 8 billion things going on through our heads with the kids and life and trying to remember everything, passwords, this, this, and that. Like,
yeah.
a reminder isn't a bad thing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you forget.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, and I think the biggest thing with Pete is, like, he's always been open to, like, me telling him, for the most part. Like, one of the biggest things when we were talking about, like I was saying, that was, like, one of the biggest, not a rough patch, but things that we overcame was, like, I'm just not, I don't feel loved. Like, I feel like we have a great relationship, but I wasn't feeling the love. And he's like, I literally do all these things. I've been doing so well of, like, picking up and cleaning the house and doing the dishes and doing the laundry. And I'm like, he's like, I'm doing all this stuff for you. And I'm like, you're not doing that for me. You're doing it because you're an adult and you're 30 years old and you have a house and you have kids. Like, you saying that you're doing it for me means I should be doing it and you're taking it off of my plate. And I'm like, you're doing it for our household. And he, so he changed his perspective and, like, oh, you're right. Like, I'm not doing this stuff for you. I'm doing it for all of us, but it's not, like, for you. So it kind of, I don't know, we helped. That was, because he does. He's been working, like you said, from the very beginning, he's been working so hard to, like, learn how to live with somebody, and we're both still learning. But that was one of his biggest things was, like, I want to take care of the house. I need to learn how to pick up after myself. But it wasn't, like, you were doing it for me. It was...
And I like that because it acknowledges you as, like, an individual still outside of the relationship, too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, so there's stuff that you do, like, for each other, for the relationship, and then there's stuff he can do just for you.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For you, it's easy. For you, it's easy
what
so you
what
want.
Are, yeah. So I was going to say, so if you're, like, what are some things that, like, you need to feel loved or that she...
Physical.
Well, it doesn't have to be. Well, that's what he means.
Have you done the five love languages?
We haven't.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, so there's, like, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, gifts, and...
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
That's mine.
Are, like, the ways that you like to receive love. And so a lot of times, kind of what you're describing is we tend to do what we... think mm-hmm. love is, or like how we receive love, that's how we give love, because, like, oh, well, obviously love is when I do the dishes for you,
right?
So
mm-hmm.
but it's not always reciprocated, so the fact
right,
that
yeah.
you can kind of, like, bring that up and start to discuss that and open and share that, and then you, like, hear it and take it on,
yeah,
I think is, yeah, really, really cool. Because, I mean, there's
he
like
gives me foot massages now, like, every night. Every single night, even whether it's, like, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. Sometimes I'm like, it's fine, you don't have to. But so he really, that's what I mean, like, having a partner that's, like, open and willing to, like, interpret what I'm saying and actually, like, act on it, or, like, you, it means, like, that in itself is love, because you're, you know, willing to change, or willing to do something that, like, you don't really want to do. Like, who wants to give somebody a foot massage every single night?
I like making you happy.
Exactly.
So
that's
like,
what I'm
when
saying.
He knows how it makes you feel, he's like, I guess I do.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just.
So, and then going back to, like, the marriage part, what was each of you before you got married, or even before you met, like, what was your take on marriage? What did you see? Like, what was marriage to you, and how has it changed? Like, that definition, I guess, or, like, what it, yeah.
I don't know that it's changed. Like, I've always thought of marriage as, like complete commitment to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And doing everything you can, like, to stay committed, like, I don't think that's changed at all. Like, I know we both come from families that our parents got divorced, and, like, as much as you see it, like, I still don't think it's okay. Like, I get it. Like, I get it if the relationship gets to a point where it's toxic,
mm-hmm.
like, where staying together is worse than being together, but I don't know, I feel like work can be done earlier to not get to that point,
mm-hmm.
like, unless you really made a mistake and married the wrong person,
yeah,
like,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think we did that, so constant work on our relationship should keep us there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think, not so much, like, versus when we met, versus my mindset when we met to now, but, like, my mindset growing up and going through what I went through with my parents, like, before it was just, like, you get married, I mean, we're, like, my whole family's Catholic, you get married and you just, like, stay married, like, divorce is not a thing, whatever, but, and that after my parents divorced, or were going through their divorce, I mean, it was awful, And that's when my mindset changed of like, marriage is a verb. A verb? Is that the right word? Marriage is a verb. It's something you do. You have to actively do.
Yeah.
Can we cut that out?
No, I like that.
Yeah.
Marriage is a verb. It's something like you have to actively do. Like, it's not just like, hey, you're together and you coast through life and like you got a ring on your finger now and, you know, God's going to strike you down if you get divorced. Like, no, it's a verb.
I mean, maybe some couples are like that or they're just, it's all happy-go-lucky 24/7, but I don't think it works.
Well, I think one of the strengths that we have is like humor. What?
Like, we haven't interviewed any yet. It's just all happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and I think it's like, a part of it too is like, when we joke, if we recognize that we're like, or I'm sorry, when we fight, if we recognize that a fight's starting, a lot of times we'll like, make a joke, like, well, it'll be like, not sarcasm so much, because I think sarcasm is negativity, but it's more like, we'll like make a joke to like turn it light, like, no, I don't, this isn't like meant to be a fight, I'm just joking, like. And I think in a lot of our relationship is like humor, like, we don't take ourselves too seriously, like, we don't take our relationship too seriously in the sense that like we both make mistakes and like we don't say the right thing, so I think that's helped too, like, we can just joke about it. I can be like, Peter, what is this? Where is this going? Where are you gonna do this? Like,
I have a bad habit of pulling stuff out and not putting it away. And Rachel would get on my butt about it all the time, and eventually it would just like weigh on me because it's like, in a sense, like constant nagging. And even though it was my fault, like, because I leave stuff out.
Well, it was making me so upset, too. Like, I was getting myself so worked up. And finally, I'm just like, let it go. He's never going to change. It's fine. It's fine. Do I really want to fight every day of our life about, like, garbage on the countertop? Like, I'll just throw it away. It's not that big a deal. And I just, like, let it go is one of the things in our relationship. But I think where you're going is...
Yeah, well, so...
Are you going there?
What she did instead of nagging...
Gosh. I don't know. Have you guys seen these? Come on, really?
She got these, and they're little rubber middle fingers.
They're like miniature middle fingers.
That was in Luke's playroom?
Yeah.
Oh, he's been it? Oh, shoot.
So when I leave, like, a wrapper on the counter, Rachel just puts one of these middle fingers next to it.
It makes me so happy.
And I see it the next day, and I'm like, shh.
But then it makes him realize that, like, I really do leave crap everywhere. So, like, it makes me happy.
Yeah, one day
I
woke up
mad.
And there was, like, 10 middle fingers around the house.
I think I only have a pack of 8, but, you know, it's fine. It's fine. But, it, like, things like that. Like, realizing that it was... causing me so much stress myself, and it's making him mad too, because like, who constantly wants to be told every single day, like, pick this up, put this away, are you gonna do, you know. Mm-hmm. So I bought these kind of as a joke, but they're like actually working, because it shows him visually, like, oh my gosh, I left like literally 8 things out on the counter last night, and then I find sick humor in it.
And it's just like, because I would get frustrated because like I'm doing a million things every day, like, with the kids, and especially, like, right now, because with the way our jobs are, like, during the day, I'm in charge of the kids most of the time, so I'm, like, running around, I'm doing stuff, I'm trying to do work, I'm doing this, and, yeah, I leave stuff out, and then, like, before all this, like, I just did a million things, and then I left something out, and then I hear about it, I'm like, ah! Like,
well, I let up, I think, in quarantine.
No, you have. In quarantine. But, yeah, so it's, like... But they're like, it's like an easy fix. Like, if I just take 2 seconds to put back what I just taken out, it makes everyone's life better. And it's like, that's the stuff, like, I used to be 10 times worse
We're
than
stubborn,
it is now.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I'm learning. Like, I'm getting better. Because, yeah, I used to leave everything out. I never put things away. Like, laundry, this, that, dishes. Like, it's like, you take 2 more seconds and... things can be where they're supposed to be, and everyone's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. How do you guys practice forgiveness? And obviously, that's not an example of something, like, huge and detrimental, but it was obviously building up to a degree where something had to change.
Right, yeah.
And so, even in those, like, really, quote-unquote, small instances of feeling hurt or slighted or disrespected, whatever it might be, how do you work on that forgiveness? Maybe on both sides, if you were the quote-unquote perpetrator of leaving something out. or whatever it might be.
Yeah, luckily our troubles have been relatively small, but I don't know, for me, forgiveness is like I was saying, partially for myself, like in that example, it was making me, like, I was just so stressed inside because, like, I couldn't control what was happening in my own home. Like, I felt like I was constantly picking up after somebody. So when I recognized it in myself to, like, let it freaking go, like, maybe that's forgiveness. Like, let it go. It's not that big a deal. Let's just make it something funny because you've done a lot of work. I don't want to say you're never going to change, but it's something that we're always going to struggle with. So it's not that big a deal. So for me, that's partially like forgiveness, like forgive myself for being so freaking stressed out about it and forgive him and just like make it into something that we're just like, bring some humor to it. Yeah, and it helps
think
us both.
But we've been lucky. I don't think we've ever been in a place where like I've legitimately been mad at Rachel for something.
Yeah.
Like in the moment, like we've had arguments and things like that, but I've never like, there's nothing that you've ever done that like in my head I'm like, I can't believe she did that, or like, yeah, we've never had any like big fights or anything crazy like that.
Well, I think that's probably part of it, is like we don't hold on to anything because they're in our, like if we were with those people. Sheree?
Sheree?
Yeah, she.
Look at his little tail.
Do you want to let him out there with them? Or should we? Or
I mean,
they did really well in California.
Yeah. If we do, I'd want to go out there just to
get
one out of his face.
We can do a little break. Yeah. If you guys want.
Do you want to finish his thought?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Like, part of it is, do you want us to finish?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's just finish.
Okay, yeah. I think part of it is, that we, like, because if we were with different people or in different situations, like, somebody might hold on to stuff, and we just don't, like, I never have been a person that holds on to anything. Like, I'll forget it. You say sorry, like, whatever, move on. Like, I mean, I'll learn a lesson. Like, there's been people in my life that I'll, you know, not go deep with or, like, trust anymore, but, like, I'll still have a relationship with. But, like, I just change. I've learned how to create healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, in our relationship, I think we're both kind of that way where we just kind of let things go. Like, nothing. Or if we do, like, if it's something that I'm really having heartburn about, like, he knows to, like, let me have a moment. Like, I'll go in my room or I'll go in my closet. And he just means, like, don't, like, just let her be for a minute. Whereas he's the type of person.
Yeah, that was something I had to learn with our relationship. I hated it at first. Like, we would get into, like, an argument or whatever it was, and Rachel would go off and close the door and go in the room. And, like,
well, I would say, like, I do not want to talk about it. I just need a moment.
Yeah, like, and, like, my reaction is, no, we need to talk about this right now. Like, I don't want to just sit here and, like, there's an issue. We need to talk about it. And, like, for the longest time, like, I would go in there and, like, try to talk about it. And that would just make things worse. And eventually I realized, like, not everyone handles everything the same way, or not everyone needs the same things when something's going on. And, like, yeah, because I would push when I shouldn't be pushing.
Yeah.
Like, so we've learned a little bit on,
yeah,
on how each of us handles, like, those situations.
Well, and, like, for me, like, the number one marriage advice people give you when you get married, they're like, oh, write it on a whatever, or, you know, write it on a piece of paper at your, like, bridal shower, and it's always, like, don't go to bed angry. And for me, it's like, go to bed angry. Like, sometimes you just need to go to bed mad, because in the morning you're going to wake up, and it, like, really didn't matter. Or you, like, worked through your own emotions. So for me, which people probably doesn't feel like, he's the type of person like, yeah, don't go to bed angry. And for me, it's like, go to freaking bed. Like, go to bed. Do not continue this argument. Just go to bed, and then you'll feel so much better in the morning. So sometimes, I don't know, that's like our two different perspectives, which, I don't know, there's a time to like sit and like talk about something for 2 hours and like figure it out. But there's also a time to like sit by yourself and really decide, like, or, you know, does it matter? Or, you know, is the point that I'm trying to make need to be made? Or do I just need to let it go? So,
yeah.
So go to bed angry, guys. Go to bed angry. Or fight naked. That's my best advice. Is fight naked. If you're in the middle of a fight.
Done that?
If you're in the middle of a fight,
all the time
start
now.
Stripping down. Like, how can you argue with a naked person?
We've never done that.
We have never done it, but you can try next time if you
do. Fight naked.
That's never so funny.
And then I wanted to ask about, because you guys in your 11 years have dealt with a couple moments of like loss, mm-hmm. Family members, puppies, mm-hmm. and I wanted to know like how that kind of like showed up. Did you feel like it strengthened your relationship and like kind of like what ways you were able to show up for each other, but then also like give space to grieve alone?
I mean, it's definitely one of those situations where you put everything you are doing like to the side to make sure that, like, when my mom passed, Rachel was there for me for everything. Like, it's like, yeah, I was in a bad place. And like when Rachel had her loss, like, it's like, oh cool, it's 2 a.m. and you need me to sit with you, like, cool. Like, you really try to do whatever you can, because it's like hard. Like, I mean, yeah, never fun. Like, I don't know how to, like,
yeah. I think obviously Pete and Chris, when you guys lost your mom, I mean, that was one of the biggest things that you're still going through today. And I think understanding that, like, when somebody is grieving, there's no right way to grieve. Like, you just have to be there for them. And so in my mind, like, I would try to take off the burden of like all the administrative crap, or like even in my mind trying to think of like, what can I do to, like, because we don't necessarily, I mean, like, we talk about your mom a lot more now. I try to bring your mom up, mm-hmm. whereas he is just so like painful for him. So like, unless you tell me don't, then I try to like every day to bring her up. So like, I'll talk about her to Luke and Sophia, and we'll talk about his Grammy Loli in heaven. And like, he gets teary, but he's never told me to stop. So I try to, like, I know it's hard for him to bring her up. So like, and obviously it's three years later or something.
Yeah, at least 4 years in July.
Yeah. So obviously it's like 4 years later and he's still going through it. So that's, you know, grief is just a monster, and it like creeps up on you when you're not even expecting. So I think he's still going through it. But that for me, like, even when, you know, we brought mom home in hospice, like, I was just trying to think of, like, what can I do to make this better, you know? Or what can I do to, like, constantly keep her memory alive for me? I don't know. Or what does he need me to do? Like, how can I just support him? Like, tell me whatever you need to do. Like, I will just support you however you want to handle it. Even when his mom was alive, it was like, I will just take the back seat. Tell me what you want me to do, and I will support you 100%. I'm just here to support you, is all.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in life where you don't know, you don't have an answer of how you're supposed to handle it or what's going on. But having someone that just says, yep, like, all right, like, whatever you need, like, makes whatever that thing is a lot easier.
So. Yeah.
When you get to that point where it's just like a no questions asked, like, yes, it's a lot. Like, it takes a burden off of you. Like, it just, it's easier. It's not like, well, I shouldn't ask for this because they're stressed or they're doing this. And it's just like, yeah, it makes.
Yeah, it makes when it comes easier. To yeah, grief and loss, like, you just become a yes man. Like, whatever you need, I'm here. And if you don't, if you want me to figure out how to help you, let me go figure. Like, I will, but I'm not going to, like, pressure you to get better or feel better, because you're not ever going to. I mean, when you lose people like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's been the biggest thing, and just like understanding, even if, and it's one of those things that, like, I'm not gonna like communicate. We talked a lot about communication. Like, I'm not gonna pressure him to talk about it if he doesn't want to, or if he doesn't bring it up. But like I said, I will like try in my own way, and I don't know if you even recognize, but like try to bring her up constantly. Yeah. Or yeah. And as long as you don't tell me no, like, I just feel like I have to, you know, like, I want to do something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we, and most recently, like, I lost my grandma last week, and he has been super supportive. Like, he took the kids like, I was in the hospital with her, even during COVID, like, super stressful. All of my family members came into town, and then we had her home in hospice at my mom's house, and it wasn't like she was sick. It was very sudden. We weren't expecting it. Now, to say that of an 83-year-old is, you should not expect it. Like, we expected something, but she was very healthy. So, She didn't have any health issues. So, but Pete was just there. He's like, do whatever you need to do. I've got the kids. Don't worry about it. Go stay as long as you need. The kids are like, he would like constantly give me updates. Like, and I was feeling guilty. He's like, it's fine. Like, this is your grandma. It's fine. You be with your family. And I was able to be with her when she passed, on the bed with her, like holding her hand and being there for me and my sister. Like, I was holding her hand with both of my hands, one for me and one for my sister. And so I was able to like be there for my family, and he was there for our family by taking the kids. And it was just like he said, no questions asked. Like, I didn't even have to ask, like, do you need me to be home? He's just like, go, you know? So that was really, I don't know. I think that comes easy for us. Being there for each other comes really easy for us. So, yeah, I know. Even now, yeah, I get teary-eyed. Or even like, even in the moment of my grief, seeing my meemaw in bed, like Pete came over and was very emotional. And I, yes, you love my meemaw, but I also knew that you were seeing your mom. And he was like, my aunts, like, you don't really have like a like solid relationship with my aunts because they live in Illinois. But like, he was vulnerable enough to be like, not crying, you weren't bawling, but you, to have tears in his eyes and talk to my Aunt Sue about his mom. Like, so it was just, I don't know, the type of guy that can do that, like allow himself to like be crying in front of my aunt who he like barely knows.
I'm a baby now.
Yeah. But it was like super sweet. So like, I was able to just like walk away and let them have their moment, even when I'm going through something, which is totally like, I was so happy to allow him to like continue his grief for his mom, even through that experience. So that's not fun, but everybody's gonna go through it. And the older we get, the more we're gonna have moments like that. So it's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's something that's inevitable.
Yeah.
We're all gonna experience loss.
Yeah.
To some degree. And so just the fact that it became like an opportunity to just be there for each other, like unconditionally, like, just speaks volumes. And I mean, looking back at Mom, I just, I don't know if I've ever thanked you for everything.
Oh, I'm sure you have multiple times, but you're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when she was in the house and...
Yeah. Yeah, just, it was a lot.
Yeah, coming back and you guys taking me in for the 18th time or something.
Your bedroom. No, I mean, yeah, that it was no questions, like... No questions asked. We were, 6 months pregnant? And we were meeting with the hospital staff, and it was like, no, she's coming home. Like, and you're moving in, you know? It's not even a question. I'm always there for you guys, and you guys have always been there for me. So it's not, I mean, that's what I love. That's what's so easy. It's just, that type of stuff comes easy, and that's when you know that you're in the right family, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mind if I take a hard left?
Go for it.
Go.
Proposal. What was that like?
Oh, shit. This is a loaded question.
A mess?
You have insider information.
Yeah, I'm not gonna
know this. Oh, my God.
Did not
go
as planned.
Do you want me to tell
the story? Yeah, perspectives. No. I want to hear both perspectives.
Okay, so I had obviously, been arguing with Peter... I'm going for it. Okay. I've been arguing with Peter for like 6 months, which was really only like 28 days, apparently, when I look back on it. But so finally, Peter planned this trip out of town, and I was like, okay. But it was so bad. So I went over to my dad's house to get a tent. Because, you were taking me up to not Strawberry.
Rewind.
Okay, you go.
Blue Ridge Reservoir.
Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, Blue Ridge.
My idea was to take Rachel to Blue Ridge, that it's like this really cool river that you can camp on. And I want, like, she had always talked about wanting to go canoeing and like being on the river. And I talked to Chris and
I've still never been canoeing.
I know. So I get Chris to go get a canoe and he's going to meet us up in Blue Ridge. Rachel does not know this. I tell Rachel we're going camping.
The camera.
So Rachel, and we're still like newly like together. We don't have a bunch of stuff. Rachel says her dad has a bunch of camping stuff. She goes to her dad's to get camping stuff. She brings it over. We head up to Blue Ridge. We go up there It's really pretty, and we're all excited, and Rachel's all excited, and then all of a sudden, Chris starts pulling up with
the canoe. Well, I see all these people with canoes, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that'd be so fun. I was like, I wish we had a canoe. We should have brought a canoe.
Yeah, and Chris pulls up with the canoe, and she's like, what? And the whole time, I'm being, like, super sketchy with my backpack, because the ring's inside, and like... I'm, like, hugging it everywhere we go. Like, I'm afraid it's going to, like, disappear for some reason. And so what happened was, like, the way Blue Ridge works is you pull up, you put your boat out, and then you can go camp along, like, the shoreline. You just got to go find a spot. So we put everything in the canoe, and Chris and I go to go drop everything off. And Rachel stays with the dogs because we couldn't all fit in the canoe.
I'm like sitting on, and you can't, your car can't be down there. So I'm sitting on the dock with the two dogs.
With the two dogs.
And all of our stuff. And his backpack.
No, it's all in the canoe now. Yeah, it's all in the canoe because we were going to go drop it off. I promise, because I didn't want to drop in the water.
Peter, I had the backpack because it was everything I could do to not go through that backpack. You left the backpack with me.
Okay. Okay. Either way, we had a bunch of stuff. And that summer, there was a bunch of fires. So apparently that river was dammed up at one point, and they had used a bunch of the water to fight all the fires. So the water line dropped like 10, 15 feet. So the shoreline that used to be there was now 15 feet lower, and everything going up to the real shoreline was just mud. And not like mud that you could walk through. Like if you stepped in it, you sunk down to like past your knees. So Chris and I spent like an hour and a half like canoeing around this river, trying to find a place where we could climb up and actually create a campsite. Didn't find a single thing. Cause
I'm sitting on the bank. I'm like, they're going to come back with a full canoe.
Yeah,
they're
going to come back. We have the tents. We have everything there. Yeah. And we end up like an hour into like, we just need to go back. Like,
well, not to mention, Chris had just broken up with his like long-term girlfriend at the time. So
like that, day before.
Yeah. So like he was not, like he was... very supportive. He's being a trooper. Come out. He's being a trooper, but like he was having a bad day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like the start of it. And then I was like sitting on the dock for an hour and I'm like, oh my gosh. So
and then we come back full everything. And like, we can't, there's nowhere to stay. But like, I still had the plan. So my plan was to take Rachel out on the water the next morning at sunrise and propose to her. Like, have the sun coming up, just us in the water. Like, it'd be awesome. But I was like, all right, we can't stay on the shore, but there's a campsite like right up the road and we can just come back down in the morning and go out. So we get back in the car, we go up to the campsite, pay our little $10 fee, get a campsite, and we go into the campsite. We start unpacking and I start pulling all the stuff out from Rachel's dad and like the tent, and there's like an easy up and all of this stuff. And there's all these bags. And the bag where the tent is, there's a tent but no poles, and then there's another bag that has poles in it. But what I realized was the poles that were there were not for this tent, and we had an easy up but not like everything for it.
We had anywhere to contain the dogs.
Yeah, we had nowhere to contain the dogs. We didn't have a tent. We had an easy up that had kind of some drapes, and we're like...
It was a bug shelter.
Yeah, like, it was a bug shelter. Like it. And I'm like, all right, so we don't have a tent, but we can sleep in this thing. We'll just get a fire going. Yeah. We'll get the air mattress up. We can sleep in there. We can stay warm. We'll go out in the morning.
Yeah.
And even though it was a bad fire season, right before we went, it had rained for like 3 days straight. And I didn't bring firewood. Like, when I camp, you go get firewood and you burn it. Well, everything was soaked. We tried for hours to get a fire started. We couldn't get anything to light.
We stole
firewood from another campsite. Okay, yeah. We burned everything shirts. In our car.
Burned like, shirts from the trunk.
We burned shirts.
Yeah. Like literally, and I'm sitting there like knowing his plan. And so I'm trying to be so supportive. And like, I'm feeling bad because like Chris was feeling bad. Pete was like freaking out because all of his plans are going to crap. Like,
I'm trying to propose the next morning and nothing's working.
Yeah, no campsite, no tent. We had air mattresses. We were going to go for it. And I was like, being a yes girl, I'm like, I feel so bad for him right now because it's just going down the toilet. No batteries to like blow, like for the little
mattress. The air mattress didn't have the cap.
Oh, that's
we finally pulled the air mattress out. We're like, you know what? We're just going to sleep. We're going to cuddle up. We're going to stay warm.
Yeah.
And we're going to go out in the morning. And we pulled the air mattress out. And there's no cap for the air mattress, and that was the last straw. And we're like, Rachel's like, we should just go home.
Well, I was just like, guys, like, I felt so bad, but I was like, guys, should we just, like, go home? Like, it was 10 o'clock at night, 10:30.
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt so bad saying it, but I was like, this is not going to happen. Like, so
yeah.
We went home.
So then we drove home.
We're
and on the way home,
down. Yeah.
My dad called, and he knew that I was going to be asking Rachel, and he's like, how's it going? And I'm like,
well, you gave the phone to me.
Yeah.
And I answered, and he's like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, again, my sick humor. I'm laughing, and I was like, horrible. And he's like, give the phone to Peter.
Yeah. And so we end up home that night. I still have the ring. The plan went to hell.
Yeah, he still had the ring.
I like, yeah, that's good.
Didn't get to the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
I just could have just made the story even better. And at that point, like, I was, and it actually took me a while to tell Rachel, like, why I did this. But, I mean, I had been, like, gearing myself up to propose for, like, a couple months. Like, that's a big thing. And, like, I knew I was doing it that morning. Like, I was ready to go. And I could have, like, figured out something else and done, no, like, I'm ready to propose to her. Like, we're going to do it. So the next morning, I was like, screw it. I got up. I ended up finding our dog, Nash, and tying the ring to his collar and letting him in there to go wake her up.
Oh, that's cute.
And he woke her up, and I got down next to the bed and asked her to marry me. And it was like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It was perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
That is so cute. Did you see it right away, like, playing
with him? Well, it was funny because in the middle of the night, he's, like, playing with my finger. I was like, oh, no. You are not just going to put this finger on. I, like, pretended. I played dead. I was like, you are not putting this ring on my finger in the middle of the night without me knowing, without asking me.
Yeah,
so
I was
the
like,
next
marrying
morning,
me
and
yeah,
you're married, and you're married.
And you just wake up with it on.
Yeah.
Like,
how, like, in the movies.
That's, like, the bad place I was in. I was like, do I just... it on and then, like, wake
he's
up
like
in the
so
morning
stressed.
And say, like,
he's like, how do I do this?
Yeah,
I like
playing
dead.
Like,
I kept like curling my finger and like pulling it under my pillow.
Is she asleep? Is she not asleep? Like,
yeah.
What's happening? Like, I don't know. So should funny. I just do this? Like, yeah, my whole day has been like ruined.
Well, and then
like,
when you put it on Nash, and Nash came up, and I like see the ring, and then I'm like, Pete? I'm like calling, like, he didn't come up.
Well, like, I didn't want to walk in, like, all weird if she hadn't seen
it
yet.
Did you see it? So I was like, Peter, are you coming in here?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, we didn't know.
It wasn't like this cool, romantic, like, perfect proposal, but
yeah, it was cute. It was cute.
Still got a yes.
You tried.
Still got a yes.
Yeah,
I tried.
And I've still never been Canadian. I'm just kidding. No, but
I love that.
Yeah, so that's the proposal story. It's very long, but it was like bad thing after bad thing.
Literally nothing went right that night.
Luckily, I'm just glad that I knew it was coming, because not that I'm like negativity, but probably right up front, I'd be like,
you would have been like, what the hell are we doing?
My nagging nature, no, would be like, why didn't you have this planned? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you think about that? In my head, but I did not expect
I did not think that when we got all the camping stuff, that it would be missing half of the things. I did not think to, like, oh, does this tent have all of its pieces?
Listen,
it was just a bag. It was a tent.
I just grabbed the bag. So, no. But we're married, and we've been married now for 11 years. It worked out great.
It worked out fine.
11 years?
We've not
no,
been
together.
11
sorry.
Years.
So, 8 years. 8 years.
Okay. Last couple of questions. So let's do what of your favorite things, like one of your favorite things about each other.
I think my favorite thing, well, I don't know. One of my favorite things is, I've said it a couple times, but just like, Pete's just like the nicest guy. Like, he is always, and he doesn't care what people think. Like, you do a little bit, but... as far as, like, being a goofball, or, like, that's the thing that I'm, like, most attracted to, is just, like, being funny, being a goofball, not taking yourself too seriously, like, that's the way that he is, like, dancing around, and with the kids, like, that's probably my favorite thing, is, like, you being a dad, like, because we had conversations before where it was like, I don't know, like, if we're ready to be parents. Like, I don't know if you're ready to be a dad. And the fact that, like, he is a better parent than I am. Like, he does so much for the kids. And, like, he is just, like, so loving and so funny and so goofy and will, like, bend over backwards for these kids or do anything for them is, like, my favorite thing about him. But
how am I supposed to answer it after that?
For the record, second nicest person.
Yes, and great mom.
I don't know, there's so many.
Mm-hmm. It's okay, they can speed up the gap in the amount of time that
takes you to take all the time you need.
No, there's a lot. Like, I love, like, one of the things that I was, like, first attracted to Rachel for was that she loved sports, that she was athletic, that she was willing to try things. Like, we've played co-ed softball. Like, sports has been a big thing in my life. Mm-hmm. And, like, so she played softball growing up. We've played, like, we go out and we go do things. But I think with that and with her being, like, completely open to me being who I am, like, that's been really cool. Like, I'm not, like, the, like, manly man, and, like, I don't have to be. Like, I'm a choir kid. Like, but
he likes musicals.
I like musicals, and I'm not ashamed of it. I don't care. But, like, I'll build a fireplace. Like, I can do different, like, stuff. And Rachel is completely happy with who I am as a person, and I don't have to be anyone else for her. Like, I get to be me. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's amazing. Like, because I know, and I have a lot of friends who I've seen change themselves for the relationship. Like, and I have one friend who's very, very much, we called him a chameleon when he was growing up, because he would change the way he was based off who he was dating in order to please that person. And I have never felt like I had to be anyone other than myself around Rachel. So that's... That was a thumbs up, and you can't see.
Thanks, Ben.
Mm-hmm. And did you want to do that? And then last question, what advice would you give to younger couples? Or, like, couples just starting out?
I mean, I guess, like, in this interview alone, it's just, like, you come so far and your relationship changes so much from, like, the what's important to you in the very beginning to... So I think it's important initially to, like, set your goals and be on the same page about, like, what you want in life, but also don't have the expectation that that's how it's always going to be, or, like, have the expectation that, like, it's going to go wrong and things are going to change. And so be prepared to evolve, like, understand that you're at a point in time in your life and it's just a point in time. Like, in 10 years from now, you're going to be potentially a completely different person. And that's through your own life experiences of, like, even the people you meet in your career or the people that you meet in church or the people that you meet together as a couple. And there's different influences in life that are going to change you, and just be, like, open to the change and be and keep each other, like, continue to talk to each other about, you know, where you are in your life, because it still is your life. I mean, yes, it's your life together, but you still are, like you said, Jackie, like, you still are an individual. So just, like, keep checking in and understand that, like, that person that you married is not necessarily the person that you're still married to, and you have to change too. So,
Sophia!
Pete's being summoned.
Yeah. Is that her first word?
No.
Her first word was just recorded?
Yeah.
Was that just her first word?
Clickbait.
Baby first word in interview.
Yeah. She said goal yesterday.
Goal! She's a footballer, eh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, I got distracted. What was the question?
Advice for new couples.
I just had the answer to before I was going to Oh, yeah. I remember what I was going to say. That it's okay to want to reach your goals with the help of someone else. Like, you don't have to do it by yourself before you have, like, before you think you're ready to commit to someone. Like, and for the longest time, I was that person who was like, I have to be here, 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 and here before I can get to commit myself to taking care of a family. But, like, you can grow with someone else rather than by yourself. And honestly, like, if I would have waited till I was at the point where, in my mind, I was ready to get married, I would have never been married. Like, that... Like, I was one of those people who just set, like, maybe unrealistic expectations. Because, like, and I guess expectations change and, like, what your goals are change. Like, maybe what you think you need when you're 21 isn't really what you need. And you realize that as you get older. But having someone to grow with and learn from and, like, feed off each other can be a really, really good thing. Like, if you're willing to learn and grow. You can't go into it and be like, all right, you can join me and I'm still going to do my thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a team thing. And it's always like, two minds are better than one. And, like, especially for me, that was huge. Because Rachel has helped me so much in terms of, like, drive and being committed and learning how to organize. And, like, I am a much better person because I decided to marry her. Than I was before.
So. Nice. Yeah, well, thank you guys for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Well, we're honored.
I guess we're joining you. We are in your house.
We are, yeah. And now you're going to eat my food.
Yeah.
And we're going to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl, yep.
Yes. Oh, how do you
ask? And with that. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We had such a great time with Mike and Veronica. You can check them out on their YouTube page or on their Instagrams. We'll link in the show notes below. And you can check us out at gates_of love on Instagram or our website, soulplacelove.com. Our conscious coupling coursework will be out soon. Thank you all so much.
Bye.
Peace.